This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield and by Farm Credit Illinois. Now with part one of the Morning Ag Show, we join WSMI's Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade, everything finished lower across the board for grain. Corn for May was down 2.5 cents to 377.25. July corn was down 2.25 to 387, and September corn was down 2 cents to 393.25. May soybeans were down 5.75 to $9.75. July beans were down 5.75 as well to 914.25, and August soybeans were down 5.75 as well to 920.25. Chicago wheat for May was down 0.25 cents to 469.25. July wheat was down 0.5 cents to 474.5, and September wheat was down 1 penny to 482.5. Soybean meal for May was down $4.10 to $311 a ton. July bean meal was down $3.60 to $314.80, and August bean meal was down $3.40 to $316.30. Soybean oil for May was down 17 cents to 28.65. July bean oil was down 16 cents to 28.98. And August bean oil was also down 16 cents to 29.11. And now we'll move on to the Illinois Department of Agriculture in Springfield for yesterday's cash grain reports.
This is Tuesday's reported grain price and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were lower on Tuesday afternoon in northern West Illinois. Country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 3 to 4 cents at 330 to 354. Soybean bids were 6 to 7 cents lower at 816 to 855. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 3 cents at 343 to 360. Soybean bids were 6 cents lower at 832 to 862. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 1 to 3 cents at 335 to 369. Soybean bids were 6 to 7 cents lower at 825 to 861. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 6 cents lower at 863 to 876. Basis was steady at 3800 to 2500 the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis is offered at $289 to $301 a ton, down $4.10 a ton, with basis unchanged at $2200 to $10 the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were mixed at $359 to $376, with basis steady to up forward $1,800 to $1 the May. Illinois river barge loading elevated quoted to producer corn bids 1 to 3 cents higher at $360 to $370, with basis up 3 to 5 at $1,700 to $700 the May. Soybeans ended down 8 to 10 cents at $846 to $856, with basis down 2 to 4 at $5,500 to $4,500 the May. New crop wheat prices are down a penny at $4.45 to $4.70, with basis steady at $3,000 to $5,000 July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bid steady at $3.82 to $3.83. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 6 to 10 cents. Quotations at $8.68 to $8.72. Soft wheat closed down a penny at $4.96 to $4.97, and Milo was 3 cents lower at $4.03 to $4.05. Contract bids producers for October-November delivery corn in the northern part of the state at $3.45 to $3.70, soybeans at $8.49 to $8.80. In the central part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at $3.55 to $3.71, soybeans at $8.69 to $8.94. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October-November delivery at $3.43 to $3.75, soybeans at $8.61 to $8.92, and June-July wheat at $4.48 to $4.77. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to your livestock futures from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange, April live cattle were down 67 cents to 126.90. June live cattle were down 40 cents to 120.72. And August live cattle were down 40 cents as well to 117.57. March feeders were up 57 cents to 142.75. April feeders were up 2 pennies to 146.22. And April feeders were down 90 cents to 149.80. April lean hogs were up $1.07 to 79.72. May lean hogs were down a dime to 86.65. and June lean hogs were down 22 cents to 95.32. And now we'll move on to the Illinois and U.S. Departments of Agriculture for Tuesday's Cash Livestock Reports.
Thank you. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Tuesday afternoon's Livestock Report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Afternoon Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $3.91 higher in a range of $60.86 to $76.50 with the weighted average carcass price of $73.03. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sow prices are mostly steady with light to moderate demand for light offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows weighing under 400 pounds traded at 28 to 33, 4 to 500 pounds at 31 to 36, 5 to 600 pounds at 34 to 39, over 600 pounds at 38 to 42. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices for barrows and guts at the country buying points are $2 higher with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from 40 to 48. Receipts for Illinois barrows and guts totaled 31,424. In the direct cattle trade, from the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, steers on a live basis traded at $125 to $126, heifers on a live basis traded at $122 to $128.50, and on a dress basis traded at $206. From the National Daily Pork Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts was established with 409.29 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $81.07, which was 87 cents higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses are trading higher. Choice carcasses are $229.51, which is 51 cents higher, with select carcasses at $218.99, which was 26 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 119,000 compared to 120,000 for last week and 120,000 for 1 year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 476,000 compared to 467,000 for last week and 461,000 for 1 year ago. Today we also have the Fairview Sale Barn Auction results. Total receipts of 263. Compared to last week, slaughter steers sold 2.25 to 2.5 higher. Slaughter heifers sold 50 cents higher. Trade was active with moderate to good demand. Slaughter steers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 125.50 to 132.50. Slaughter heifers choice 2 to 4 sold in a range of 125.50 to 131.50. Slaughter cows with average dressing premium sold in a range of 79 to 92. Breakers sold in a range of 51 to 61.50. Boners sold in a range of 45.50 to 55.50. Lean sold in a range of 36 to 46.50. Slaughter bulls sold in a range of 67 to 88. That concludes our livestock report. This is Jeff Evers with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you by Farm Credit Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto of Litchfield. Part two of the Morning Ag Show, brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer-owned with global connections. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by the CNB Bank and Trust, now with 19 locations to serve you. And with part two of the Morning Ag Show, once again, we join Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. The United Kingdom was set to leave the European Union at the end of this week, but indecision among its parliament has resulted in delays, political chaos, and general uncertainty impacting the progress of a trade deal with the United States. Nearly 3 years after 52% of British voters supported a referendum pulling Great Britain out of the European Union, its lawmakers are nowhere near finalizing how exactly to go about it. Dr. Julian Benfield is the Director of International Programs with the Food and Agricultural Policy Research Institute at the University of Missouri. He says with the EU granting a brief extension, British lawmakers are essentially down to three options.
There could be no deal left and the UK could leave on the crash out on the 12th of April, or maybe the UK might decide that they want to stay in the EU after all. I think the most likely way forward from now is with under Theresa May's withdrawal agreement, which would come into effect on 22nd of May. But in order to do that, we need to have they need to be voted on again. And that's already been rejected twice by the UK Parliament.
Lawmakers are assuming control of the legislative agenda Wednesday to gauge the viability of all other alternatives, including a second referendum or customs union. Benfield notes that any of these options will impact how the U.S. proceeds with trade negotiations, not only with Britain, but with the rest of Europe.
if the UK does agree a withdrawal agreement similar to that, that proposed by the Prime Minister and agreed with the European Union, then the UK will go on to have another transition period until December 31st, 2020, when it will remain within the EU. They'll negotiate their own trade deals during that time, the EU, and then they can negotiate with the US. If the UK leaves with no deal on the 12th of April, then potentially some US-EU agreement could be made. But realistically speaking, I think that there has to be the trade agreement between the EU and the UK has to be agreed first before there's a significant trade deal between the US and the UK.
A major hurdle in the Brexit discussions is the status of Northern Ireland, which would leave the EU with Britain while the Republic of Ireland remains with the EU.
That agreement doesn't cover the details of trade. All of that agreement looks at is the financial settlement, citizens' rights, and this idea of this Irish backstop. And that's related. The people who oppose Theresa May's deal on the Brexit side are worried that that part of that deal will mean that that ensures, if you like, a kind of a perpetual soft Brexit where the UK will always have strong ties with Europe to preserve the border agreement with Northern Ireland. So it's been a very important point up until now. And it's certainly going forward because the agricultural sectors of the UK and Ireland are very closely linked, and there's a lot of trade between those two countries. That's going to be a major sticking point going forwards, whatever people can agree.
However, Binfield says if the UK does go through with invoking Article 50, the clause that allows Britain to leave the EU, hurdles to a deal won't disappear overnight. One issue that drew scrutiny shortly after the U.S. released its trade objectives was a desire to change the UK's sanitary and phytosanitary standards, specifically how imported poultry is processed.
At present, the U.S. can't export poultry to the EU that has been sanitized using a chlorine wash. Basically, the way that poultry is treated in both in the EU and the US is different. It's a good example of how even if there is a trade agreement between the US and the EU or the US and the UK that cuts tariffs, then you might not still not be able to trade between the two countries because of the non-tariff barriers that have been, like the chlorine wash, that have been restricting trade up until now.
Binfield adds that it's not the only policy that Britain is likely to keep in place once they leave.
In the EU, we have this system whereby locally produced products are protected. For example, something like Parmesan has to come from certain regions and be produced in certain ways. The US doesn't like those kind of restrictions. And it's interesting to look at Brexit as well there. Even though the UK is leaving, if the UK leaves the EU, that system is still popular with the producers there. So the UK's already said that they're going to keep that in place. So I think some people think that if there's a no-deal agreement and the UK leaves, then the US will be able to enter the UK market and not have to worry so much about these things. But I think certain things like the chlorine wash or the geographical indications are still going to be in play.
Dr. Julian Binfield of the University of Missouri says while the process continues, farmers in the U.S. could still feel impacts, notably with the value of the euro and the British pound sterling fluctuating significantly against the dollar. In national news, thousands of water wells are located within flooded areas of the Midwest that could be contaminated with E. coli, according to the National Groundwater Association. The association says the number of wells impacted could be substantial because a large portion of the Midwest affected by flooding relies on groundwater for rural and small municipal water supply. Household, farm, and small business wells could be in standing water for several days, raising the potential for contamination. While the exact number of wells possibly affected by contaminated floodwater cannot be readily counted, Census Bureau data shown over 1 million wells in 300 counties that have been impacted by flooding. This estimate includes counties flooded in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, South Dakota, and Wisconsin during the March 2019 winter storm. Following a flood, disinfection and wellhead repair may be common needs among well owners. Well relocation and elevation may also be useful and protective. The association says well owners should continue to monitor and test their systems. In other national news, as the Midwest prepares for planting season, many farmers and ranchers are also dealing with the aftermath of the historic flooding occurring throughout the Midwest. Additionally, many are also worried about the impacts that these floods will have on their buying and selling of machinery and equipment. Big Iron Auctions is the world's largest unreserved online auction platform for agricultural machinery and equipment. I spoke with Mark Stock, the founder of Big Iron Auctions, and he spoke about the best practices and strategies when buying and selling in a difficult and unpredictable time.
Well, if they've had some equipment that's gone through a flood, or if it's gone through a tornado, or if it's had some hurricane damage, you got to bear in mind that a lot of this equipment is freighted and travels all across the United States when it's sold on the online auctions. What we try to do here at Big Iron is always publish the seller's name and give those buyers the opportunity to call that owner and ask them specific questions about the piece of machinery. And obviously one of those questions needs to be, is it gone through any weather hazard? Has it been damaged, or has it been repaired after it's been through a tornado or been through some floodwaters or excessive rain? I know we deal with a lot of equipment that's now electronic and digital, so when you're dealing with electric wires and computers, like planter and row units or some of these transmissions, you know, they're all digital and all electronic. Those things can be affected by those weather events. So make sure you have that communication with that owner. Ask those important questions regarding that piece of machinery that you're interested in so you can get a better feel of what's going on. We really strongly encourage all of the sellers that use the Big Iron service, you know, to be honest about the equipment that's being sold. And all of our reps are local reps to that specific area. So if there has been a weather event, the rep in that area knows about the weather events that have gone through, and we go through with that seller to be as honest as we can, because it's a lot easier to disclose the truth. People can handle the truth. They will adjust their bidding a little bit, but in many cases, they actually pay a little bit more because they know that the seller was honest about the things that that particular piece of equipment has been through prior to it being sold.
And one of those points we've maybe talked about too was how misrepresentation could be that costly deal down the road. A pretty good piece of equipment at a cheaper price, and then you get into the planting season and you're spending that much more money just to make that operable for you.
That is correct. That's why it's very, very important to have that conversation and communication with the person that's representing that equipment. If it's on BigIron.com, you're going to be able to talk to the seller. You're going to be able to talk to the Big Iron rep. So have those conversations, folks, prior to. So if it has been through a weather event, the seller will, in most cases on Big Iron, tell you that it's been through a weather event, and you can plan accordingly, because then you can talk to your local implement dealership and ask them, what do I need to be expecting here since this has gone through some floodwaters? So it's all about awareness. It's all about trying to be full disclosure and transparent. We really focus on those issues here at Big Iron.
And one other thing, too, is that some states also require a seller to mark it if it's been through a flood or some damage like that. Is that kind of common here throughout the Midwest, or do some states not require that as much?
Well, every state is different. Obviously, if an insurance company gets a hold of the piece of machinery or gets it recovered through a weather event, that's why they sell them as a piece of salvage or salvaged item. Some of these pieces of equipment in certain parts of the country that do not have insurance or were not covered by insurance, you know, may or may not have those designations. So every state is different, as you suggested. But more important, folks, when you're in a situation where you're buying a piece of machinery, it's always very important to do your due diligence, whether you're walking around and kicking the tires, if it's your local neighbor's place, and if it's selling on an online auction, you can go take a look at it. You can do all those things to help protect yourself from having a situation that could be a little bit regretful later on down.
And also, as well, as we were mentioning, the flooding in the local areas in the Midwest, Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa especially, I'm sure you're seeing an uptick in a few items that are being ready to be sold at auction here in the next coming months.
Well, the equipment that's now currently in these floodwaters, that probably won't hit the market for several months, because they've got to deal with their insurance companies. They got to still get them moved out. And a lot of them are still stuck in people's sheds that had 3 and 4 and 5 feet of water in them. But what we're seeing an uptick in is those folks that have had a planter or a piece of machinery that's been through those floodwaters. they're looking right now to buy some equipment because they still got to get their crops in the field. So there are some great opportunities right now in Big Iron. We do a lot of retirement sales. We have our auctions every Wednesday. So if you are in a situation where you need some machinery to get your jobs done because of these weather events, always check out BigIron.com.
And any other ways possibly that somebody could get a hold of a rep in the local area here in central Illinois?
Absolutely. You can go to our website, and you know, if you've got a piece of machinery you want to sell, if you're looking to buy, you can search that way. But you can send a quick message through our website, or we've got a toll-free number that will ring right into our switchboard, and then we can connect you right with your local rep. Pretty simple and easy. That number is 1-800-937-3558. But our website, BigIron.com, that's probably the first place to start. There's several ways where you can click on some of those buttons and links that will get you right into our main office to dispatch your local rep.
And again, that was Mark Stock, the founder of Big Iron Auctions. For this Wednesday morning, March 27th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.